What I've been asking the Lord about the waters, and I said, Lord, with everybody has an eternal wellspring of life in them, out of our innermost being will flow rivers. How come so few has these waters flowing like that? Why, when we all have them? He said, chiefly because they don't know what's in the water. Until we find out what's in the water, we won't sell our life to the water. Before, it's like, I take a drink of his presence, I take a drink of his joy. So what we're doing is finding out what is in the waters. So what we're doing is tracing the inheritance of what Christ inherited in the right hand of God. We're tracing it, what he inherited, and we're tracing it through the waters, because the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't know about you, but I am ready for the kingdom to come. We're all ready. We've been looking at it, prophesying on it, having meetings after meetings after meetings. It's crazy what people do to get God to move. We have 20 repentance services over the same repentance. Do you ever notice that? And I'm all for repentance. But after 20 of them, there's got to be something else that causes this. So it's not an issue if God will. It's an issue of how God does it. And we understand the dynamic which the kingdom flows and the kingdom releases, because I can tell you the problem is not with God. And he's not waiting to sovereignly move. He already sovereignly moved. When he gave his son, and his son inherited all things, that was the greatest sovereign act the Father ever did. It's there. Say it's there. He blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What we're learning now is how to get it out of there to here. We have to get the kingdom here. There's a process by which the kingdom flows. Kingdom flows through the gift realm, except the gift realm is limited. Don't want to get in that today. It's severally as the Holy Spirit wills. That is a limited flow. There is another operation that Christ operated in with anointing without measure. He said, well, that's Jesus. He said, look, the works that I do, you will do also. I mean, I just like about half of his works. You could shake whole cities down. Amen. So what we're doing is tracing that water. Last week, we looked at global evangelism. This week, I want to look at the creative waters, the waters of creative life, the waters of creative miracles, what the church, what the prophets, what the apostles, what the evangelists are looking into in a first world nation. Breaking out in a citywide operation where the leaders of the city take notice. I'm not talking about a twinkling. I am talking about a full-blown operation of creative life that will break outside that church door, that will draw the attention, that will demonstrate in front of the masses, in front of the unbelievers, that will cause the Father to reach down and the ones he loves, drawing people off of 20, 30, 40-year-old deathbeds, drawing people out of a chair that they're assigned to for 25 years that can escape every single anointing in a first world church, that have been to 50 services, same thing. Everybody's prayed. Everybody thinks they got it. The problem with people who think they got it, they're not teachable. Because I already got this. Just let me have it. And then after you're praying, nothing happens. At least we need to be honest to see where we are in the light of things. If we're honest and teachable enough, then we can maybe access something we don't have. But as long as we think we got it, it's how you know you got it. Get in front of somebody with a 25-year wheelchair condition. And if they can't get out of the wheelchair, don't blame it on them. Blame it on the fact we ain't got it yet. It's okay. We ain't all that yet. That's how you find the answers. We keep walking around, I got it, I got it, I got it, it's on me. You've seen that. Go your way in faith. You'll recover one day. I want the kind of stuff the Lord walked in, the apostles walked in. It happened right there. Peter just cleared the room, said, get out of the way, you guys ain't got it. When he had to raise Tabitha from the dead, he said, get out of the room. They're all weeping and wailing. Peter, knew it. The Lord did the same thing. He goes, get them out of the house. All you're weeping, well, I know you love her, but you don't know how to get from heaven what she needs. And they were weeping and wailing, and they're all intercessors, and they all loved her. But they could not get from heaven what that woman needed. But Peter knew how to get it. When he got from the gate beautiful, how many people walked across that man to go pray to God? Peter stopped. He goes, I've got what you need today. What I have, I give to you. He had the waters on his life. How do you know that? Acts chapter 5, Jerusalem, Judea, all the people around, they came around, at least the Peter, the shadow of Peter would overshadow them. Now, that really wasn't a shadow, and how you know that wasn't a shadow? Because of the word overshadow. In fact, go there, I want you to see that. Acts 5, verse 14, citywide revival broke out in Jerusalem, all places. That was a hard place to break a revival out. There was tremendous resistance to the new covenant in Jerusalem because half of that city was held up under the law, and man, the revival just broke out right in the city. Powerful. Woo. And believers, verse 14, were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude of cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. What? Every one. That's what we're looking for. When they start bringing them from all the cities and they all leave healed, then you got it. That's the mark right there. That's the mark we're after. He said, at least the shadow of Peter might overshadow them. The word you need to focus on is overshadow. It wasn't an shadow, it was actually a cloud that was upon him. That word overshadow, it was used at the Mount of Transfiguration when the glory cloud of God overshadowed them. That's how that word, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, that's how that word is. It was a glory that came over Peter and overshadowed him. It was a glory cloud. You can call it Shekinah glory. It was upon Solomon's temple. The Shekinah glory of God. I had a revelation about the Shekinah glory of God. It's a cloud. It's the same cloud of glory that followed them around in the wilderness. Isn't it amazing? The rock was there and the glory cloud was there. The water was there and the glory cloud was there. I mean, just brilliant revelation. This is deep. Call it the deep, but the noise of the water spout here. You ready? You know what a cloud is? You know what a cloud is made out of? It's water. It's pure water. In fact, in Genesis, he said, when the Holy Spirit was hovering over the deep, it was just water. And then what he did, he says, now divide the waters. What he did is he divided the waters from the water. That's how he said it, divide the waters from the water. So he had waters in the heavens and waters that filled. It was a sea. Everything was under the water. The waters in the heaven, it was the atmosphere that you now understand. Precipitation, clouds. He put the waters in the heavens. You were baptized in water all the time. You just don't know it. So those clouds were water. Peter was walking in a glory cloud. What happened was the living waters were breaking out in the atmosphere of his life. And it forged and formed, and that overshadowing glory cloud would fall upon people. Do you think it was really a shadow? That means only the Holy Ghost would anoint them when the sun hit Peter a certain way and made a shadow. And if the sun ain't hitting you, buddy, you ain't getting healed. Because if it's not producing a shadow, sorry, sun's not out right now. You'll have to wait till tomorrow. Wait for a certain time where it can produce the shadow. It was a glory cloud that was on him. And wherever that glory cloud hit, they were healed, everyone, because the living waters were flooding the place. Bible says, worthy is the Lamb. You know the scripture in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, and by his stripes we are healed. He purchased the healing atonement of the nations. In fact, even under the law, he said, I will take sickness from the midst of thee. And while they walked in the wilderness, as long as they weren't disobedient, they were all healed in the wilderness. They stayed healed. He was a great physician. How much under our covenant should every single one of us be made whole? There were 3 million people stayed under a cloud of divine healing. Where is that? Because a rock followed them around. And it gave forth its water. Christ inherited that healing atonement in the right hand of God and said, worthy is the Lamb to receive power. When he stood in front of him and said, all power in heaven and earth has been now given unto me. Go. I give you power. That word power is dunamis. Within that dunamis, the word dynamite, that dunamis power is in the living waters. He placed that power in the living waters. He placed that inheritance in the living waters. We know that because of the following scriptures. Really quick, go to Ezekiel 47. You should be living in Ezekiel 47. You should be breathing it. It should be like 1 Corinthians 13. You should have it on your refrigerator, on your mirror, in your car. You are the temple for which that water's breaking out. If you don't do that, your waters will get replaced by waters of the flesh, sweat of the brow, efforts of man. I heard Creflo Dollar preaching on that. I said, go, buddy, go. He was preaching it. He was on it. He goes, you're not going to get it done with self-effort. He said, you can forget about it. He said, that's not how God's going to get it done. We don't get these waters flowing, then we're going to revert back to our own waters. We were called to live by living waters. We were called to have living waters flowing out of us. Those living waters were going to produce our future for us. It was going to produce the future of our cities and the future of our children and the future of our church and the future of our ministry and the future of our businesses. It was going to produce life and wholeness and increase and divine multiplication. I was amazed. I had a fit yesterday. When the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, he says, all of creation declares my glory. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? He said, everything you've been looking for and everybody else has been looking for. He goes, all you had to do is look in the creation of how I created things. The mystery was there. I said, okay, come on. He says, you can't have anything grow anywhere without water. Did you know you can have water without food? But you cannot have food without water. Food cannot be produced without water. Water is the staple foundation for all life, for all increase, for all multiplication. There is not a city on the earth that can multiply without water. You can't do it. They're sucking water during the drought. They were taking water out of Lake Conroe to feed this city. Because they're going to find water. And the residents said, we paid millions of dollars for these houses. And you're draining our lake. And it said, I'm sorry, but Houston is thirsty. They're going to quench the thirst of a city. Because you can't have life without water. Do you know revival's in the water? Do you know glory's in the water? Do you know the sustainable habitation of God that everybody's looking for is in the water? How can it not be in the water? How can anything be sustainable in any city? How can a new thing be birthed without water? You can't have it birthed in the natural. It will not be birthed in the spirit. It will die on its limbs without water. We are on it. And he put it inside us. Going to be a revival. When that water breaks out, there's going to be growth, development, sustainability, increase, multiplication. How do you get it flowing? You have to believe. Just like Carl was talking about. Veteran of war, wasn't he? Yeah, we going to get water. I'll take my life saving. We will find. They dug, didn't find it. But he believed it was down there. With Tina, they dug a well. Didn't find it, dug another well. You have to believe the water is there. So you went and dug for 3 days. And I don't have the water in there. When you don't have no water, you got to keep digging. Sometimes you have to go deeper. Sometimes you're going to get through the bedrock where it lives. If you want the true glory, it's going to be down deep, 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 deep. See, that surface water gets contaminated because it's too close to the earth's operation. But that deep water is uncontaminated. The stuff that we want is the uncontaminated depth of Christ that's down deep into the resources of our temple, down deep in the temple foundation. We're going to dig down in there until the geyser well breaks. He said that the water will burst forth from the temple until that rock stands up into standing water. When that rock stands up into standing water, your life's going to change. We don't understand how these living waters work because we work all the time without them. When they break out, they will make things happen that you cannot make things. They will break out in your life. It's with an overrunning flood. He'll start pummeling your enemies. Pharaoh's army that's been pursuing you will get cast into the sea, drowned into the sea, swallowed up a whole army. That was the strongest army in the whole world, and the waters swallowed it up. Nothing can stand against the living waters. That's why you got to be that determined. Otherwise, you'll go out to seek it somewhere else. You'll go do something else to find it. You'll look inside yourself. You'll look into something else to find it when all the time it's there. But you're going to have to well it up by faith. There's no other way to get it to flow. You have to believe it is there and you have to speak to it. You know, I told Chuck the other day, I have made a determination. I will speak to this for a whole year. I'll speak to it for 2 years. Because I've been at this. You have too. Those of you who carry revival anointing. We end up empty each time, empty this time. So you finally found the source where it's at. It's all I needed. I know the right hand of God's in that water. I know the inheritance of the right hand of God's in that water. I know the water's a creative life. It's in the water. The miracles, the creative miracles that the world needs right now to see a living gospel that's live and flourishing and full. I know it's in that water. I'm determined, and there's not a devil in hell can shake me away from it. And there's nobody can distract me away from it. I do not care to go build no church with a bunch of programs. I care not for it. I care not to go build something until that water breaks out. I want that water to get out in front of me and start opening the stuff and say, I'll follow the water. Jesus is constantly asking them to follow the water. He said, when you go to the upper room, this is how you'll know that's our provision. Find the man bearing the pitcher of water, and that's your provision. Follow him. Follow the water. I've said this before. When Abraham, remember, sent out his servant to go find a bride. Abraham was the type of the father. Isaac's the type of Christ. Finding the bride. Go out and find the bride for my son. And that servant goes and he says, the woman that comes here, have her draw for me and my camels. She came up along and said, she drew him a pitcher of water. And then she said, can I bear water for your 10 camels also? Do you know how much water camels drink at one time? When I went over to the internet, I think Debbie sent me a text that got me on it. And I'm like, how much does a camel drink? Do you know they drink anywhere from 30 to 50 gallons in one setting? That's average. 300 to 500 gallons she offered freely to draw up for somebody she didn't know. That's the bride of Christ right there. I will draw you up water, and I know how to draw it. If I got to draw 300 gallons for this city, if I have to draw 3,000 gallons, that's what I'll do because I am his bride. And I know how to draw water. God said, you will do. That's what I'm looking for. Somebody can draw the water and serve the water. Even if you got to draw 400, 500 gallons, she didn't even think twice about it. That's a lot of work. Now we're drawing living water. If 5% of us get this, that's all we need. That's all we need. God opened 12 fountains in the early church. That's all we needed. 12 blew open the fountains. That fountain ended up clothing Peter in a glory cloud of living waters and the Holy Ghost everywhere that cloud hit. I'm going to tell you right now, prophetically, you, if you hang around here long enough, we'll see glory clouds of creative miracles. You'll be walking in them. They'll be all over the place. I'm telling you right now, they're going to pull them out and bring them in here out of the hospitals. The ones that don't leave the hospitals, there's too much trouble getting them here because nothing happens. They're going to say, oh, no, no, no. Because here's what's going to happen. When you pull them out, you're pulling them out of where they were from and all their other friends are there with the same condition. And when you pull them out and they come back whole and they go back to their friends, I'm whole. Guess what? Next service, there is a bus with every single one of their friends in the same condition. I say, okay, 10 more camels, draw up some more water. You got to believe in the water. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to believe it to say, I will camp at this well till I see water. You got to be determined to find it. I don't want a cup of water somebody else giving me anymore. God, these days, it grieves me sometimes to turn the TV on to see what they're serving up the people. Contaminated water. It grieves me. We got to change that. God's going to change the way people are fed on the airwaves. They need it. It's disturbing what's being served up. Not everybody, but a lot of it. Ezekiel 47, verse 8. Okay, here's the living waters. Watch the creative life in the waters. The water broke out of the temple, broke out of the right side of the temple, broke out of the foundation of the right side of the temple, broke out of the right hand of God. You are the temple it broke out of. That's verse 1. Verse 8, flowed into a river. There was baptism. All right? Now verse 8. Then he said to me, these waters, I'm reading from the Amplified, pour out towards the eastern region and go down into the Jordan Valley and on into the Dead Sea. They're not afraid of death. That's the first thing. These waters will confront death. They are not afraid to confront a situation, and they know who they are. And they know where they're from because they proceeded out of the Father. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life, pure, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of the Father, proceeding out of the Lamb. They come out of heaven. They may be coming out of you, but those waters are originating out of heaven, and they have a divine life and a quality about them. They will confront death fearlessly because the Holy Ghost is administrating and governing the waters. And when that water starts flowing, he is right on them. Hallelujah. Whew. Bulldog tenacity right now is what we need. You are not coming to a congregation just to hear a message and go home. You are called to be equipped to carry the next level of glory for this city. And you got to know that's why you're here. God brought you here for a reason. We're not a little church going to do some little programs to make you happy. We're here to contend for a well to break it open in this city. We're going to get it. Do I look like I'm determined? I've been beat up enough. I know the difference. I'm just going to go. I just found a source that's more powerful than my enemies. I'm not going to fight them the rest of my life. I'm tired of fighting. I'm going to loose a wellspring that'll bury my enemies. That'll confront the death around me and say, that's what I found, something that's greater. I get this water out with an overrunning flood. It's going to make another end of you. I don't even have to fight you anymore. I'm going to have the Joanne Lofton effortless anointing. Come at me. Here we go. Want some of this? You got to get that flowing, though. It don't come out on its own. It may take some time to prime that pump. You got to speak to it. If you don't know your enemy, just go start speaking to that rock. He'll show up real fast. I promise you, he'll show up. You want to know what the enemy looks like? Make a determination this week to speak to the rock for 1 hour a day, and you'll find what your enemy looks like. You will become the most busiest saint on the face of the earth. There'll be more people calling you with problems and things for you to go address in your own efforts. Anything to do to get you out of that place, to get you back into where you're manageable again. That's what your enemy looks like. Just do it. You'll see. Don't even think about bringing a cell phone in your prayer closet. It'll ring just like that. You want to be popular with people? Just start praying. First thing the enemy will do is bring everybody around you. They'll make you so popular just to get you out of the prayer calls, then you won't be popular anymore. You got rejection issues, just start praying. Everybody will start calling you. They will. They'll call you with their issues. Then you have rejection parties, pity parties together. It's not a matter if God can or will. When he stood in front of a leper, if thou will, canst thou make me whole? He settled it forever. He said, I will. And when he prayed for him, he was healed right there. When we pray for the leper, we say, be warmed and filled. Go your way. God bless you. We love you. Be praying for you. One thing Jesus never said after he prayed for somebody is, we'll be praying for you. Because they didn't need prayer anymore. They got it right there. You never hear him say after he prayed for somebody, oh, I'll be praying for you. They got it right there. Because he had it on him. It was on him. He said, these waters, they flow to the Dead Sea. Look at this, first other half, love it. And when they shall enter into the sea, they're going to enter into the Dead Sea. Big old sea out here in Houston, Texas. Big old sea. When they enter in, the sea of putrid waters, the water shall be healed. Say healed. They're going to be healed. The blind eyes are going to see. The deaf are going to hear again. The lame are going to leap. The tongue of the dumb are going to sing. Veronica, every time I quote that scripture, I see Stevie singing. He said he's going to sing. God's going to open his mouth and sing. He's going to sing in this place. You watch it happen. God's going to heal him. Make him whole right in front of everybody. I'm telling you, he's going to do it. It's in the water. I've already seen it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. And wherever this double river shall go, every living creature which swarms shall live, and there shall be a very great number of fish, because these waters go there, and the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh, and everything shall live wherever the river goes. It's not afraid of death. It's not afraid of blindness. It's not afraid of deafness. It's not afraid of chromosome disorders. It's not afraid when it sees somebody in a wheelchair and it doesn't leave them in the condition after it prays. If we pray and nothing happens, we don't have the water yet. It's okay. Go back and start digging. Well, quit acting like you got water when nothing happens. Just to create the image everybody's looking for. Like I got something. If it didn't happen, I ain't got it. But I know where it's at. I can't live in yesterday's manna. Verse 12, the banks of the river on both sides, there shall grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaf shall not fade, neither their fruit fail to meet the demand. Say, my leaf will not fade to meet the demand. Be producing new fruit every month, new fruit. Where is these leaves? These leaves will be for healing, and they won't fade, and they won't fail to meet the demand. When I stand in front of somebody, I have something to give them. I have a fountain inside me that has stood up from the rock, and now he's a living fountain, and the Holy Ghost is going to throw that water on him. And when he does, he's going to make them stand up. We are so, so close to breakout. It just as soon as it breaks in the atmosphere, the Holy Spirit will run those waters faster than you could ever imagine. He will multiply them greatly. Kingdom of multiplications in that water. Each tree shall bring forth new fruit every month. These supernatural qualities being because the waters came forth from out of the sanctuary. And their fruit shall be for food and their leaves for healing. You got leaves of healing going to come off of your tree because water is going to fill and bring life to everything. Where's those waters come from? Your temple. More importantly, where are they coming from? The right hand of God, where Christ sitteth at the throne of the Father. As the Father had life in himself, he gave to the Son to have life. And he said, now I come that you might have this life and have it more abundantly. And you as my bride should learn how to draw up 500 gallons at a time. When Anna asked me to unload the truck and there's 4 or 5 gallons of milk, I'm like, and she drew up 300 gallons with no problem. Happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 35, most powerful chapter. He said, your wilderness and your solitary place shall be turned to gladness. Your desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It will blossom abundantly. The wilderness of the city is going to be turned to gladness. The desert in the city is going to start rejoicing and blossoming as the rose. It's going to blossom abundantly, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon will be given unto us. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon will be given to us. We will see the glory of God and the excellency of our God. For the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap about as deer, and the tongue of the steebies will sing again. For in the wilderness, living waters will break out. Streams in the desert, the parched lands will become pools of water. The thirsty lands will become springs of water. I am a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters fell not. You hired me in the rock and you've granted me sure waters, guaranteed waters to flow. For the waters you have given unto me is a spring of water, a standing spring of water, welling up, flowing up, bubbling up continuously. Out of my innermost being is flowing these waters of Eden. Waters, the rivers of pleasure I drink and I serve. Waters and rivers of increase that are bursting forth with rapidly flowing fruitfulness. You fill it, Father. You fill it. Stir in the waters again. Stir in the waters again. The dry and thirsty seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear you. I am the God of Jacob, and I will not forsake you. I will open rivers in high places and a fountain in the midst of your temple. I'll turn and cause your wilderness to become a standing pool of water, and your dry lands will become water springs. It's there that I'll cause the hungry to dwell. And it's there that I will prepare a city for habitation, says the Spirit of grace. It is there that you'll sow the fields and plant the vineyards and yield the increase of the city. It's there that I'll bless you by the waters, says the Spirit of the Lord. It's there that I'll cause you to be greatly multiplied, says the Spirit of the Lord. It is there I will suffer you not to decrease. You've asked of me, says the Spirit of grace. I've heard every prayer you've asked. I've heard every petition. I have heard every constitution and recorded into the heavenly, says the Spirit of the Lord. And this day I say unto you that all that you've asked for is indeed in the wellspring I've placed within you. For all that you've asked of me, when the waters flow, you will see. I will grant one desire after another, after another, after another, effortlessly. For my waters will tear down your enemies, says the Spirit of the Lord. With an overrunning flood, I'll make an utter end of your enemies, and they will be no more. For the waters will break out and confront spiritual death, bondage, and disease. It will confront the curse and overcome it immediately, says the Spirit of the Lord. And this is how my glory will flow again, and I will cover the whole earth with my glory again. Before my bride is lifted out, the world will see her glory, and the waters I have given her are like no other, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to just throw this out. You can go study it later. You remember when the angel came? Pool of Bethesda? And he went and stirred the waters? All those impotent folk, you know how he was there? He was a sign during the time of Christ. He preceded Christ and he was telling the world and all the impotent folks, is your blessing is in the water. And I will come and stir, and when I do, the first one in will be healed immediately. It's a sign that the one that is to come will be carrying these waters, and he's going to give you this pool. It was a sign, a miracle, and a wonder. So Jesus comes and probably gets the one that's been sitting there the longest, 38 years, grabs the worst condition. He says, "Will thou be made whole?" He goes, "I'd love to be made whole, but I can't get in the water." Somebody else jumps in. He goes, "I am that water." That's what he said. "I'm here." He says, "Rise and be healed." There's not anybody's going to be able to explain the elation of being able to serve water like that to the world, but the ones who do it. There's nobody going to be able to explain of taking somebody that's been confined to a wheelchair or a bed for 38 years and having the living water show up and they get out of the bed when you pray for them. There is nobody on the earth that could explain the elation of the bride and the glory God's given her to serve those kinds of waters to the world. There's nobody in the world that can explain that kind of joy. One scripture more and then we'll finish. Amen. So many. Go to Luke 6. You're a product of what you see. Do you understand that? Not what you see with these eyes. If you don't see with this eye, you're not going anywhere in the kingdom. You're just waiting for something to happen. See, the illumination of God's word will illuminate these eyes. The eyes of your heart will be greater than these eyes. I see an unseen realm. I see a city that's being overcome with living waters. And that's growing so strong inside, it's becoming greater than what these eyes see in the natural. What's inside, the faith is growing. I know the waters are going to burst forth, for a fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple. And I know that everybody that gets in the vicinity, those waters are going to be healed just like that. And I know that fountains are going to open all over the world. And it's eternal fountain. It's sure waters. It's a fountain that's not going to stop. And he put it inside us. The devil's done a very good job of stopping the fountains. We're going to go open them up. Hallelujah. Luke 6, verse 17. Took a long time to understand the right hand of God was in the waters. See the healing when he inherited the power. See, he put it in the waters. Isaiah said it flowed upon sickness and disease. Let's look at this, how it flowed upon the world here. Luke 6, we'll close with this. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of the disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They're going to come to be healed when you have something. Hallelujah. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. And he healed them all. There went virtue out. It was the same virtue that flowed out when the woman with the issue of blood said, "If I can just touch him." And he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Master, everybody's touching you. The multitudes are thronging you right now." And he said, No. "Somebody touched me. Virtue, living waters came out of me." Somebody drew the waters out. Here, the waters were flowing and everyone was healed from all. I mean, everybody in the vicinity of those waters. The virtue, you know what the word virtue means? Dunamis. The same dunamis that he inherited in the right hand of God when it said, "Worthy is the Lamb to have received power. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me." That power was flowing out of him from the right hand of God by living waters flowing outwards. And they were healed, every one. Say, healed, every one. So, as I'm meditating this, that word went out is exerkomehi. It means to flow out of, to emanate, to issue out of. In other words, when you're standing in front of somebody in that condition, if you don't already have that water, it probably is not going to flow. That means they're going to be left in the condition after you prayed for them. But if the water's on you, and you release it in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost is right there. Bam. It happens. That's why Peter said, what I have, I give you because I've got it. It was evident he had it. It turned into a glory cloud of living water by the time Acts 5 came along. Peter had it. He knew how to get it on him. And so will we. Holy Ghost brought us this far. He's going to bring us all the way in. It says waters flowed out, emanated out of. So I was looking at that, and the Lord, so he goes, go over this commentary. I like the Holy Ghost commentary. He gives me good commentary. I like his commentary. But every once in a while, he'll confirm what he's saying with someone's commentary. And this guy, Gil, he's a commentator. Amen. And here's what he said. He said, there went virtue out of him in great abundance as water from a fountain. I said, boy, you got it. There went virtue out of him in great abundance as water from a fountain. There went virtue out of us because the rock of Christ is going to stand up. When he stands up, he's standing up out of the right hand of God, but now he is a fountain. And the Holy Ghost is the governor of the waters are going to draw that water out to the world. And when it breaks out, you are going to see it. You are going to be used in it. You are going to carry it. And things are going to explode everywhere around you. It'll be Holy Ghost chaos of the right kind. It'll be right hand of God, Holy Ghost chaos. Father, let the rock stand into a fountain. Let the rock stand, let the fountain, let the rock become a standing fountain of water in all of us. Let the rock become standing water! Let it release with salvation. Let it release with divine healing. Let it release with the creative life that will confront death, confront disease, poverty, death, and lack. Whithersoever these waters flow, everything will be heal. Make us trees, Father, whose fruit and leaves will not fail. Father, if we've gone in the backyard to dig and couldn't find the water, we'll dig again. And if we're not deep enough, we'll go deeper. We know the water's there. It's inside us. It's down in there. We're going to keep digging till we strike the water. And we're going to reap the hundredfold you promised in Mark 4. Just like Isaac found the water, we will find water. Father, open the wells of salvation. Grant us the gift of faith and the operation of faith. Get us, Holy Spirit, all in faith. Get us in faith. Get us all in faith. Set a fire in us to get fine water. Set a fire to find water. Set a fire in our bones to find water.
My background, what I do in the secular world for my job, I work at a title business, and I've got about 17 and a half years in it, and I look at surveys for a living. I mean, surveys to property. So a surveyor's job is he goes out there and he finds where the corners of the property line are at, and he can tell you exactly where a shed is at. I mean, they can tell you all the details of what's on that land, and they can show you a fence line coming out like 3 inches, and I'm like, I know you can detect all that, but I always wondered how they can get that detailed. Well, we're also doing this project right now with my business partner. We're building a house, and it's an old house, 1959s, 1960s. It sits against I-10. Well, they put a concrete wall on the back of that property line. The city did. And we lost the property line because the wall's like 2.5, 3 feet wide. Well, we had to get surveyors out there, and I asked the surveyor, how can you tell where the iron rod's at? So when something gets lost, you just go back to the foundation.
Said when something's lost, go back.
Say it. Go back to truth, where it's at, where you can start developing and setting things straight again. Now also, as I was listening to Carl about the wells, I've never seen a well survey, but I'm sure they have the technology to tell you there's a pocket of water right here.
Yeah, they do.
So we have that survey in the Word. Because you can have the survey and the water's there. You don't even have to try to believe. If you have the survey and it's telling you the pocket of water's right there, you just have to keep digging. You don't have to sit there and keep believing. You have the survey. You just got to keep digging. We have the Word.